Wonderful story. Wonderful Savior. Jesus has died and rose from the grave. That's why we're here today, right? Because our Savior lives. If you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26, I told you earlier we're going to dig just a little deeper into where we were at this morning, and that's the plan. I've got good news for you and bad news. The good news is I don't plan to preach very long. Bad news is I usually fall short of my intentions. So, yeah. Hey, did any of you guys do New Year's resolutions this year? Did anybody, a couple of you? Could you just be brave and like raise your hand? I made a New Year's resolution. Kind of. I don't think that's a resolution, brother. I think resolute is part of that. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think New Year's resolutions are really good. But I don't, by the way, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be on New Year's. I think resolutions are good. I think identifying what God wants to change in your life and making a resolution, being resolute to have God change you is good, right? Anytime. So it's February the 9th. It's not too late, right? If you haven't started studying your Bible faithfully every day, if you haven't improved your prayer life, if you're not committed to being a witness for Jesus, all of those things are decisions you can make today. And any day is good for that. I just thought about it because it's already 2 weeks. Like, I don't remember what the date is, but somewhere around the 14th or so of January is National Quitter's Day. Because that's how long most resolutions last. But I say now's a good time to get started anytime to live for the Lord. So I'm thankful that you're here. If you would stand with me, we're going to begin where we began again this morning. Repetition is the key to learning. And we're going to look at some verses over again that we looked at this morning. Try to dig a little deeper and find some great encouragement from the Word of God this afternoon. Listen, the Apostle Paul, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. Sometimes we say he met Jesus, but really Jesus met him. Amen. You see the difference? Amen. Yeah, Jesus came to him just like he came for you. Amen. And it changed his life forever. And some of you met Jesus a long time ago when you were very young. Some of you met him later in life. But when you meet Jesus, he changes you. Amen. From the inside out. And we need to be surrendered to the work that he's trying to do in our lives to transform us. And we're just going to look at what the calling of Jesus was in his life again this afternoon and try to dig a little deeper into that, because I see how God interacted with Paul and how he wants to interact with us. I see how Paul responded to Jesus and how he wants us to respond to him. I hope it'll be encouragement to all of us today. So let's pick up at verse 13, 26:13. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. Please be with our brothers and sisters that aren't able to be here right now. Heal the sick, comfort the brokenhearted, and be with those who have other things in the way. Lord, just help them that we can always come together at the appointed times. But thank you for this time. Please speak to us through your word. Teach us and guide us into all truth by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to see and to hear and to obey this afternoon and every day. Forgive us, continue to work in us, and Lord, just help us to walk with you day by day Lord, help us to be disciples who make disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Look back at verse 13. I just want to walk through this with you again. I know we looked at it this morning, but as I said, repetition is the key to learning. He says in verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw. When we use see the word see or saw or anything like that in the Bible, it's really interesting to think about that because a lot of times the word see or saw has to do with understanding. And so he literally saw a light. It's noon. It's midday, so it's noon. It's the brightest part of the day. But he said he saw a light that was brighter than the sun. So Jesus decided to show up when the sun that he made could do its best and shine its brightest, and he showed that his glory is far greater, far greater. And he showed himself to the Apostle Paul and those that were there. I believe that God wants us to see him today. Now, I don't mean that literally. Paul and those that were with him literally saw a physical light, but God wants us to see the glory of Jesus today by faith. Blessed are those who have not seen it yet, believe, yet have believed. So we don't see necessarily physically. We don't see the glory like he did here or like Peter and James and John did when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration. But we can still see the glory of Jesus through the Word of God. We can see how magnificent it is. We can see how wonderful he is. We can see how glorious he is. And we want to see him. And then he says in verse 14, when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. So he saw and he heard. In other words, Jesus showed up, he wanted Paul to see him, and he wanted Paul to hear him. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, what kind of man was Saul before he met Jesus? Well, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was raised up at the feet of the famous teacher Gamaliel. I mean, he was a strict persecutor of the Christians. Those were of that way. So he was zealous for the law, for the things of God. He was a great Jewish man, and he persecuted even unto death those who followed Jesus. So we would look at Paul as Christians today, and we would say he's the enemy. He hated Jesus. He hated the people who followed Jesus. I mean, this is a guy who was kicking in people's doors and taking them to prison. This is a guy who, when they stoned Stephen, was standing there and was consenting unto his death. He gave hearty approval to the murder of Stephen. And so this is who he was. And we would look at him and say that he was not a good guy. Amen. Right? Okay. We read about guys like Richard Wurmbrand in Romania when the Russians came in and they kicked in doors and they arrested pastors. Anybody who didn't get in line with the approved Russian church, they threw in the gulag. Okay? Well, wouldn't you say that those soldiers who kicked in doors and threw pastors in prison for preaching the truth about Jesus, those were bad guys? Okay, in China today, if you have a Bible and you try to tell somebody else about Jesus and you try to witness to them, they might come into your house and they might arrest you and throw you in prison or send you off to a work encampment somewhere. Or they might burn down your home or bulldoze your church building. Wouldn't you say the guys who are doing that are bad guys? Okay, so that's who Paul was. He was the guy kicking in doors and throwing people in prison and having them executed. This is who he was. Now, we had this conversation in Sunday school this morning. Somebody said, because we're talking about people and their salvation. And there are some people think that God doesn't love them enough. Like they're not worthy to be saved. And some people have this idea that they've done too much wrong. They're just too far gone for God to love them and to save them. I want to tell you something, friends. God loves you. And no matter what you've done, he has the ability to save all who believe. Amen. Right? Amen. Is there anybody who could sin too much? No. No, anyone who believes will not only can be saved, but will be saved. And so Paul might have been a bad guy, and he might have not felt worthy of the love of God, and he might have been the one who was persecuting. Jesus says to him, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, who are you? Who are you, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus. What is it that you need to see? What is it that you need to hear? You need to hear from Jesus. Amen. You need to see him. You need to hear him. And you need to know who he is. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise, stand up on your feet. because I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. I am Jesus, and I am here today for a purpose, because I have a purpose for you. I'm going to make you a minister and a witness. I want you to get this. Look, I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Paul wasn't going to make himself a minister. Jesus was going to make him a minister. Paul wasn't going to make himself a witness. Jesus was going to make him a witness. You guys get that? This is not what we do. It's not what we muster up. It's not what we develop in ourselves. It's what God does in us. He says, I'm going to make you a minister. I'm going to make you a witness. And here's what it's going to be: of the things which you have seen and the things that I'm going to show you. Isn't that good? God doesn't want to just have you serve him right now, but he wants you to serve him from now until the end. And it's so awesome, because Paul had to have been, can you imagine what that was like? I mean, he's just, like, he's on a mission. Like, he's got the papers. He's got the authority. Like, he is going to go. Like, that's, he is loving this. He thinks he's serving God. He's been doing it at Jerusalem and all around Jerusalem. And now he's going to strange cities, to other cities outside of Jerusalem. And he is excited, guys. Like, he thinks he's doing the work of God. He's going to go to Damascus. And what he's going to do when he gets there is kick in doors, find people who are following Jesus of Nazareth, and he's going to throw them into prison. And he thinks he's doing God's will in that, but God stops him in his tracks. Can you imagine what it was like when he saw the glory of God? So bright, he can't see anymore. It blinds him. He hears the voice of Jesus, and Jesus tells him, I am Jesus, the same one you're persecuting. That's who I am. I am Lord. And now the Lord says, I've got a purpose for you, and you're going to be a witness of the things that you've seen today, and you're going to be a witness of the things that I'm going to show you in the future. Has God taught you anything up to this point today? I mean, has God shown up in your life and showed you himself? Have you seen him and heard him? And it's so awesome that you can be a witness and you can serve him because of what he has shown you. But guys, he's not done with you yet. And that's what he's telling Paul. You're going to be a witness of the things I'm going to show you in the future. I got more for you, Paul. I'm showing you who I am now, and I got more in store. And you're going to be a witness of the things which I will appear unto you. Now, we know the rest of the story. He would go to Damascus. He would meet Ananias there. Ananias would restore his eyesight. He would get baptized. And then he would take a quick trip up to Jerusalem. But he's going to end up on the far side of the desert for 3 years. The Lord Jesus himself appeared to the Apostle Paul and taught him personally. Jesus appeared to him and taught him of the kingdom. And he learned from the Lord himself. That's what the Bible says. And so he became an apostle as one out of due season. And Jesus appeared to him and showed him many things. And that's what we see in his life, that he was a minister. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a witness of all that Jesus showed him. Now, God's shown you some things in your life, and he's going to show you more things in your life. And what we need to do in response to that is tell other people. It's really that simple, guys. And it doesn't have to be that you get arrested and you get to tell the captain. It doesn't have to be that you got to stand before the judge and you tell the judge. I mean, listen, if you get arrested, you ought to tell the judge about Jesus. And if you do that, he may be like, well, what does the Bible say about what you did wrong here, son? I don't know if any of you, okay, let's do this. How many of you have ever been pulled over for maybe exceeding the speed limit? Anybody? I already told on myself for this. It's been a few years ago now, but we got stopped. We were driving. I say we. Okay, I got stopped. We were driving. We lived in Vianne, still coming to church one morning. I don't know why, but I didn't have my seatbelt on. And I don't know how, but the highway patrolman across the interstate was able to see that I didn't have my seatbelt on. And he pulled us over. He said, where are you going? I said, well, actually, we're going to church. He said, what's the Bible say about obeying the law? Huh. Yeah, you want to know what I wanted to tell him? Or I said, well, I guess it says you're supposed to obey the law of the land unless it's contrary to God's law. He's like, your white shirt got you. I had my white dress shirt on. He could tell I didn't have my seatbelt on. So the moral of that story is, Make sure your shirt matches your seatbelt. The moral of that story. Now, I could really get off the rails right here and talk about what I think about seatbelt laws, but that's not the point today. Here's what I want to say. This is part of that transparency you heard about this morning. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you're standing in front of. We want to be witnesses for Jesus. Right? President, governor, senator, representative, school teacher, classmate, coworker, boss, employee, mom, dad, children, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend, neighbor, stranger. It doesn't matter. What God wants us to do is to take the things that He's shown us and to share them with somebody else. To pray and ask God for opportunities and then to take those opportunities just to take what He's shown us and tell others. That's what the Apostle Paul's life was like. We look at him like he was a great man of God. Why? Well, he was a great man of God. Was he not? Well, what did he say about himself? He said, yeah, I labored more abundantly than they all, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace in me. And what did he really do? What he really did was take what Jesus taught him and he told other people. So mom and dad, you do that with your kids. Husbands, you do that with your wife and your children, and wives with your husband and your friends. And in all of us, in all of our circles, we just take what Jesus shows us, what we see and what we hear from Jesus, and we share it with other people. That's really what it's about. Why? Well, look at verse 17. What happens? Well, God says, I'm going to deliver you. This is so cool. I'm going to deliver you from the people, that's the Jews, and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Why is Jesus going to deliver him from them? Because what's about to happen is Paul's about to, instead of being the persecutor, he's going to become persecuted. He's going to, instead of being the one that's after them, he's going to be the one they're after. And Jesus says, they're going to be after you, but I'm going to deliver you from them because I'm sending you to preach to them. Isn't that cool? I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to save you. They're not going to be able to get you because I'm going to send you to them to preach to them. So what will happen? Look at verse 18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and to turn them from the power of Satan to God, so that they will receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, that is, Jesus says, in me, by faith in Jesus. So what's going to happen? Paul, I'm going to make you a servant of me. I'm going to save you when they get after you so that you can go to them and preach the gospel so that, look, do you see it? To open their eyes. What did Jesus do for Paul? He opened his eyes. He saw the glory of Jesus. You say, well, he was blinded. Yeah, he was blinded physically, but he was given sight. He opened his eyes spiritually. He saw Jesus. He knew, understood who he was. He saw him with faith, believing who he was. And what is it going to do? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Where is the world today? Is the world not in darkness? The world is filled with darkness and unbelief. And he says, when you go and you're a witness unto me, it's going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Who's in power in the world today? Listen, I know. You say, well, I thought Jesus was on his throne, and he is. Is Satan still in power today? He is. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate power. He's sovereign. But mankind has turned over this world to the devil. And Satan has powers, principalities and powers in high places. This world is full of darkness. And Satan has a grasp on people's hearts and minds today. But what happens when we are witnesses to the things that Jesus shows us is that they are turned from darkness to light. They're turned from the power of the devil to the power of God so that they can receive forgiveness of sin, so that they can have an inheritance with everyone who's sanctified by faith in Jesus. Let me ask you today, are you sanctified today by faith in Jesus? And think about the multitude that we're a part of. Paul, Peter, James, and John, we've been studying about Peter. We read about all these men and women of faith throughout all the scriptures, New Testament and Old. Who are they? They are people who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're people who believed God, and they were sanctified. They were set apart by their faith. Sanctified by faith, which is the only way. So how did all that happen? what he saw and he heard. But the key, friends, is he believed. And how do I know he believed? Because verse 19 says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient." How do we know Paul believed? Because he got up and he went to Ananias and he was baptized and he went and he preached and he was a minister and a witness. His works verified that his faith was real. You know what happens in our lives? We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. Our works are a testament that we've been saved. What is baptism? Well, baptism is not a work, but it is a public profession. It's a declaration that you have been born again by Jesus, by faith in Christ. What is it, the things that we do, how we serve him? It's a testimony. And we want to use the time that we've been given to fulfill the purposes God's given us. I'm just trying to tell you this afternoon, I think that the purposes that God had for Paul are the same purposes he has for you and me. It's no different. That we would serve him and be witnesses unto him. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." This life gets shorter and shorter every year. Brother Tom might laugh at me. Some of you guys are a little older than me. But I'm telling you, every year it seems like the years go by quicker and quicker. Amen. And that's not to be depressing. That's just reality. I read it in my Bible. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So we've only got a little amount of time here, friend. It's time to do what God's called us to do. It's time to live our life to fulfill his purpose. Whatever circumstances come, we do what God called us to do. I love this. Hudson Taylor said, and I'm going to share this as we get ready to close our service. So if our musicians will come, you'll stand with me. I want to share this last quote with you this afternoon. Hudson Taylor said, "God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him." He's not looking for people of great faith, but for individuals who are ready to follow him. Really, at the end of the day, that's it. What essentially Jesus said to Saul on the road to Damascus was, "See me, hear me, and follow me." And Paul made the decision to believe and to follow Jesus. And today and every day when you wake up, every moment really of your life, you have a decision to make whether you're going to see and hear Jesus and follow him or not, or you're going to go your own way. Today, I plead with you to hear Jesus and follow him. Hear Jesus and follow him. You come if he's convicting your heart while we sing.